afternoon, everybody. This is Blake Ruby, the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. It is a hot day here in San Antonio, but that's okay. I don't mind hot. I've been out here in my enclosed patio for years now in the summertime. I'm used to it. I would say it's got to be at over 100 right now, and the sun is coming down over there in the distance. I've had to take one of my speakers on a stand that I use to practice my music daily and block out the sunlight from the sun that's coming down, getting ready to set. Do you know what I mean? The world's revolving and rotating, and that's what actually makes the sun seem to move, right? It's an amazing thing when one thinks about it, just the power that it takes to rotate a planet and revolve it around its sun. Call it what you want. I call it amazing. Without any glitches, like clockwork, traveling at very fast speeds, the rotation at over 600 miles an hour, the revolution at thousands of miles an hour. Yes, incredible. All courtesy of the creator of the universe, who initiated the Big Bang, and the whole universe is held into existence by the might of his, her power. And when I say his, her power, I mean the universe is both male and female. The sooner you realize that, everyone out there who disagrees, the better. Because the universe is the male, the female, the positive, the negative, the yin, the yang, the alpha, the omega. You better believe it. If you don't, then do some more research. And you'll see that you can't have a male part without a female part. Especially when it comes to children, making children. Now, here on Earth, it's obvious, very obvious, that we have our mother and fathers who procreate, and as a result, we are born. We are spirits in the material world. That's another thing, too. But more than that, we have a heavenly mother and father who created our souls and our spirits. The soul is the brain of the spirit. It embodies a tiny little part of the creator of the universe, his or her light, a spark, an infinitesimal spark, which lights up the soul like a lamp. And you'll see, when we cross over to the other side, to the afterlife, we are going to shine with our own light. You could be in the light of Jesus or other great ascended masters, or you could be standing before the Mother and Father God and feel their light wash over you like a hurricane force wind with its glory and brilliance, because we're all growing our light. That's why we're here, to grow the lights of our souls. Every good that we do, every random act of kindness, every single thing of generosity, anytime we educate ourselves with spirituality and increase our soul's evolution, we are, in fact, increasing the lamp of our soul. I've said this before, and I don't mind saying it again. Our souls are born. And you remember when you were born into this world, into this planet? No, I can't either. I knew the answer even before I asked that. Although it's possible there are some people who are allowed to see and remember where they came from before they were born. It's a very rare thing, because when we're born into this particular planet, we were made to forget. Yes, that's true. We were made to forget. It's hardwired in our being. And the reason is because this planet is a very special learning environment. The University of the Universe is a school that's very difficult. It truly is. You should give yourself a pat on the back for having lived another day. There are many different ways to die here on this planet, as you know. But we cross over when we're born, whether it's an angel taking us from that world of light over there in the distance, down, down into the Earth's atmosphere, above the house of the mothers we're going to be born into. They might hover like a couple hundred feet above that house. Everything's been planned. You better believe it. We know each other. We're usually members of soul groups, even our mothers. I had a dream about my mother last night. So everything's planned, and when the day comes, the angels, these mighty warrior angels, they take us down into the Earth's atmosphere, below the clouds, above the house of the mother we're going to be born into. And then inside the house, and she might be over there in the distance having a conversation with someone. And the angel is communicating with us directly, knows our apprehension, knows the challenges that we're going to face in our lifetimes. And then the warrior angel will look at us and say, are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Let's get this show on the road. And the angel will give us a push, our spirits and soul will push like only they know how to do. And the next thing the spirit will know is that they're inside the womb of the mother. And the mother might say, oh, what was that? She could feel. A mother is very receptive and sensitive to those kinds of things. Did you know that a baby, once inside a mother's womb, can actually look through our eyes at times? Yes, it's true. So when we are born into this world, though, as I mentioned, we pass through the river of oblivion, which means it's like a veil that we go through, a saran wrap veil, very thin veil, but it wipes out all the memories of our past lives and who we are as spirits and how we existed before we were born. Not all planets are like that, especially the higher evolved planets. You're allowed to know where you came from, how many past lives you've had, access to universal knowledge. It's an entirely different scenario here, because planet Earth is a category 1 planet on a scale of 1 to 9. What does that mean? It means that there's a lot of war and killing that have gone on throughout the centuries. Yes, right. Also, we're learning to love each other. Well, even now today, as you know, there's war still going on. And there's a lot of anger everywhere. That's obvious to see, right? Anybody out there not see that anger on a daily basis, especially on the freeways? I mean, for the most part, generally speaking, people are tolerant and patient with each other as long as you don't cross the line and do something unkind or in anger. Because, as I've said this before, and as BBS Radio has it on my website, we are co-creator gods in the making. We are alive, my friends. We are alive. Our hearts are beating independently of our wills. The air we breathe purifies the blood in our bodies and the miles of veins. Transfer that blood to all the different areas of our body. We are alive. Might not be tomorrow, we might not be. But now, right now, this very second, we are alive. And I personally want to relish in that and know that life is a gift, an opportunity to grow and develop and learn new things. There is no greater satisfaction, my friends, for sure, than learning something new every day. Learning. Some people might put that even more enjoyable, if you will, than sexual encounters, if you know what I mean. Or eating your favorite meal, or going on a vacation somewhere. That freedom and pleasure is nothing compared to the personal satisfaction and the accomplishment of learning new things daily. That's what I found out, my friends. Believe it or not, you're entitled to your opinion. I'm just putting it out there because based on my study and my research, that's the deal. Who can get smarter? Who can become more intelligent? Because intellect is really something we're proud of. Is it not? I don't know anyone who is not proud of their intelligence. We take a lot of pride in our intelligence. Most people do. They don't like to be proven wrong. In most cases, no one likes to be defeated. And intellect is so important because nowadays, the ability to forego getting in conflicts and warring with other human beings on this planet all depends on the nature of our intellect. If we have the intellect to be able to resolve our differences peacefully, once you have the intellect to do that, then you don't need to fight and you don't need to kill your fellow human brothers and sisters around this world. There will be no good reason for killing, no justification for killing, none whatsoever. Because I don't know about you, but I want to live. I am enjoying this world. It is so beautiful. You think of all the variety of life that's here. I'm going to take a drink. All the insects, over a million types. And the different fish in the ocean, seas, and rivers and lakes. Over 30,000 of them. And over 10,000 types of birds and 10,000 types of reptiles, 9,000 types of amphibians and 5,000 types of mammals and all the thousands of types of trees and flowers and fruits and vegetables. My friends, I've said this before. I can't say it enough. I enjoy saying this. If all this life happened by accident, logically, it can happen by accident anywhere in the universe. And you know, you don't need me to tell you that they're discovering more and more planets each day out there. They've already discovered like 3,000 plus with the Kepler and James Webb Space Telescopes. You don't need me to tell you that. You already know it deep in the core of your being that there are other planets out there, other solar systems, every single star in the evening sky, which is really a sun, is surrounded by 9 planets. That's the number of the universe, my friends. 9. Now, during the course of its existence, a solar system may lose a planet or two or gain a planet or two, but ultimately it reverts back to the number 9. It's like here in our solar system. We've got all the planets. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Neptune, Uranus, Pluto, and our planet Earth. And those other planets, they're not just for looks. They don't just look good. It's very possible, and I ask you to keep an open mind about this, that life might be something we can't really define totally. We know what it's like here on Earth, but there could be other types of life that we cannot comprehend that can exist in atmospheres that we would consider unsuitable to maintain life as we know it. And that's within our solar system, all those planets. They're so beautiful, colorful. Have you seen pictures of the Voyager spacecraft and the Galileo spacecraft and the Cassini spacecraft? Saturn, for example, did you know Saturn is a multicolored, very beautiful planet? It's got the rings around it, yes, but it's also very beautiful. And Jupiter looks like, have you ever played marbles when you were younger? I'm going to take a drink. I did, as a boy growing up in Canada. Every once in a while, I didn't do it often, but my parents would gift me with some marbles, and we would play, compete with each other to see if we could win each other's marbles. And some of those marbles were what they call beauties, kind of like cream-colored with swirling colors of red and orange and green and blue. Jupiter is like that. It looks like a, we call them beauties. It's a beautiful planet. Even something as drab and simple as Mercury, I'm talking about the color here, or Venus, or Mars, we know that Mars is the red planet, but in their own right, when you see it up close, it is very beautiful in its own right, even though it might only be one color or multicolored. Did you know that the Soviets, the Russians, have put 8 spacecraft on Venus? I'm going to take a drink. Yes, it's true. The Venera, V-E-N-E-R-A, spacecraft. 8, I think, altogether. That's quite an accomplishment, don't you think, for the Russians to do that? That planet is, well, I think at least 20, 30 million miles away. And Mars is a little bit further. However, the pressure and the heat on Venus is intense. And so the spacecraft that landed there didn't last too long. Especially the first one. The last one was able to transmit some pictures back to Earth. And it shows the planet, it's kind of like Mars, with a lot of rock and mountains and flat open plains, but intense heat, like 900 degrees, hotter than an oven, and pressure that would crumple a soda pop can in just a split second, you know. And ultimately, that last spacecraft, I can't remember when it landed, it was able to transmit pictures until it finally succumbed to the heat and pressure after about 2 minutes or so. Anyway, let me take another drink. And of course, there's all the other solar systems out there and their planets, different colored planets. You've seen a little bit about what they might look like in shows such as Star Trek and Star Wars. And if we could only make contact with extraterrestrials that we know are out there, because I guess you could say, unless you think that we weren't put here on Earth by accident, our species, our human race, if we were put here by accident, logically, we could be put, or some other sentient beings, put on other planets by accident as well. But it's more logical, in my mind, to think of a creator who started this all. The universe began forming itself at the center where the creator is, besides traveling around the universe in very quick fashion. His, her, immense energy field. The creator began forming the physical universe one solar system at a time and one galaxy at a time. Why? Because that was the plan. the plan to, guess what? And tell me, let me ask you a question. Is there anything greater than growth? What do you know about growth? Well, from my own personal standpoint, I know that I was a baby at one time. And here I am, 71 years later. I'm an adult. I'm standing up. But I can't remember too much. But we know we are babies. But we have achieved a lot of growth. I'm going to take a drink. Just like all things grow. A caterpillar grows into a butterfly. The dragonfly I'm watching fly out there was a baby dragonfly at one time. Now it's a fully grown dragonfly. That growth is what satisfies the supreme creator of the universe. And also, as part of the plan of growing the universe one solar system at a time, was to create a being, a sentient being, or multiple sentient beings, better put, who could also transfer that growth and those experiences and assimilate them into the ocean of the Creator's spirit like a drop of water to increase the size of the Creator. That's why if you're ever in the presence of the creative universe, or even the Mother and Father God who are co-creator gods, like we are aspiring to be, and as I mentioned earlier, in their presence, you will be overwhelmed by the light, the beautiful, radiating light, powerful, powerful beyond description, that unless you're sufficiently, how would you say it, prepared for its glory and brilliance, you won't be able to withstand it, and you'll have to prostrate yourself on the ground and then maybe, if possible, barely look up to see who it's emanating from, whether it's the Mother or the Father God or the Creator of the universe, that light. As I mentioned also, is what we try to grow in our lifetimes, the light of our souls. Let me give you another comparison. I've said this in other previous shows, but I'll say it again for the benefit of those who might be tuning into my show for the first time. We are born into this world as babies with souls and spirits, and our souls shine with a light, even though we can't remember where we came from because of this planet and its nature. But let's just say we are born into this world with a 60-watt lamp intensity soul. You know what I mean? 60-watt. You shine. Everyone shines in the spirit world with a certain intensity of light. Not everyone is the same. Everyone is different for the most part. I'm sure there are some intensities that are similar. If you're in the presence of Jesus who died on the cross, you might notice that his light shines very brightly, but you'll still be able to see your own light, even when in his countenance or the countenance of the Mother and Father God. So then you are born and you live your life and hopefully live to a ripe old age. And then when you die and transition to the afterlife as a spirit, a pure spirit, then you are hopeful that you have achieved some increase in the light of your soul. Maybe, for example, from a 60 to 100 watt bulb intensity. Does that make sense? I'm going to take a drink. Light. Everything was created with light. The Mother and Father God, the Creator of the universe, they're all beings of light, as if made by light. I'm not talking about a being that's shining with a certain light or reflecting a light. I'm talking about actually made of light, which is a beautiful, beautiful substance. If you're able to behold or be in the presence of a being of light, it's something you won't forget, I'm sure. I've read many near-death experience stories of people who have died and come in contact with a being of light. Take for example, I'm going to take a drink. A man by the name of Lou Famoso. Isn't that a cool name, Famoso? You can check it out on the internet. Lou Famoso. F-A-M-O-S-O. Vietnam veteran. Yeah. Thank you for their service. All Vietnam veterans, thank you for your service. He did a couple of tours, I think, with the Navy back around the early 60s. Came back to the States, had a little extra money, bought himself a 64 Mustang. And those 64 Mustangs, weren't they beautiful? I love those early Mustangs. 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70 is when they kind of changed. I had a 71 Mark I. It was yellow with black stripes. It sure was a beautiful car. But anyway, he was on his way to a party one Saturday night, kind of like tonight, but many years ago, going down a road and just pushing the car, going about 100 miles an hour. And that country road had some bumps in it. And I don't know if you're familiar with those early Mustangs. They were very front heavy. Wasn't much weight in the rear. So he lost control and it flipped end over end. That happens, right? Let me take a drink. It came to rest on the side of the road. Caught on fire. He was thrown from the car. I don't think they had seat belts back then. He had a gaping head wound. I mean, a serious head wound, right? Fortunately for him, some women that were on the way to the same party he was going to stopped by. They saw the crumpled wreckage in the side of the road and were able to take him to a hospital. But he had a near-death experience, to make a long story short. He found himself in the presence of a beautiful being of light who we called God. It had been the Father God. I don't think it was the creator of the universe. It was probably the Father God. And there's a Mother God too, but usually they appear to female spirits, whereas male spirits get to see the Father God. So the Father God materialized in front of his eyes, this beautiful being of light about twice the size of an average man, with an energy like a nuclear kind of energy outlined as if by a fine quill pen. You get it? Get the picture? And the being spoke to him. And among the things he said, and I've said this on my show a few times, and if you can remember this, you can help make the world a better place. And I'm not making this up. I'm not getting any financial kickback, no money from my radio show, although it'd be nice if someone hired me to be a spiritual advisor or maybe have a mega church. That would be nice. That's a dream I have, but I don't suppose. I don't know. If it's God's will, that's what I say, then it will happen. So these are the words that that being of light told Lou Famoso. Are you ready? Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. I'm talking about P-R-E-Y versus P-R-A-Y. Isn't that cool? Basically, what does that mean? Breaking it down, it means that if you want to stop war and killing, or maybe someone you don't like and you've gotten into some conflict with, keep them in your prayers. Things will work out all right when you involve God, whether the creator of the universe, the Almighty, or our mother and father God, who are co-creator gods of the solar system. Things will go better. Even Jesus said, pray for your enemies, right? But I do it all the time. I see cars on the side of the road. They look like they need help and protection. So I'll say a quick prayer out loud. God, please keep them safe. When Mr. Trump was getting shot at back in July of 24, I quickly said a prayer out loud. When I heard those shots, I said, God, please keep him safe. Protect him, please. I'm sure other people did too, you know? I'm doing my part to pray for my fellow human beings. I'm doing what the Creator, well, let me rephrase that. I'm doing what the Father God said, which is basically what the Supreme Creator wants as well. I'm going to take a drink. A co-creator God cannot be the creator of the universe, but can be like the creator of the universe, who is both male and female. And so remember that, please, my friends, man or woman will prey on man or woman until they learn to pray for them. In other words, the war and the killing will go on until we learn to pray for each other. And there you have the key to not only loving each other, praying for each other, but also a way to find peace in the future. All we have to do, all we have to be brave enough to do, all we have to be strong enough to do, if you're strong enough, if you're brave enough, if you're a prayer warrior, is pray for each other. Sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. Straight from the words of the Creator is herself, I believe. All you have to do is remember that and do your part and make the world a better place. Can you remember? Are you strong enough? Are you brave enough? Go forth and do great things, my friends. Remember, we are hardwired to pray. We can have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe and our mother and father God. Just open up your mouth and say the words. You don't have to do it in any particular way. You can do it in your backyard while looking up at the stars. You can do it in your closet if you want. You can hold your hands together. You can kneel, do whatever you want. But just pray. That's all. Women will pray on women until women learn to pray for women. And take it from me. I'm an old soul. I know these things. In fact, let me play around with you here. I'm just going to tease you, okay, for a little bit. I'm not really serious by saying this, okay? So are you ready? I'm just messing with you. You ready? I am the toughest soul around. I am the toughest soul around. Remember that song by Van Halen, Jump? I get up and nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest soul around. Well, he's talking about me. Well, you might be asking yourself and thinking, well, when did David Lee Roth see Blake Ruby? Well, let me tell you a story. I was working as a bellman at a hotel in San Diego in the 70s and early 80s. And one day, the Van Halen tour bus pulled up outside. It was October the 6th, 1979. And I grabbed their bags and put them on the cart, and I was in the process of lifting the cart up on the curb to go around the building into the high-rise where they were staying. And I just happened to look over at the end of the bus, and guess who was there, standing there, looking at me? David Lee Roth. Oh, if you could have only seen his eyes. Now, there is one evolved man himself. His eyes were hard to describe, my friends. It was like a mixture of knowing, like, what's a guy like you doing in a place like this? Menial labor. Look at me, I'm a rock star. There was a little mixture of arrogance thrown in there. But his eyes were dark, kind of like black. And he was looking at me. In retrospect, if I had to do over again, I would have walked up to him and introduced myself and had a little conversation with him, because I thought the world of David Lee Roth. I worshipped him back then as a rock star because I was listening to their music all the time. But instead, after just meeting his stare, I continued with what I was doing. I pulled that cart of baggage around the building, around the other side, and then he walked up behind me. I got a chance to talk with him, and I said, "What's your favorite group?" He said, "Deep Purple." I said, "Do you like Judas Priest?" He said, "They're okay, or they're all right." Well, I didn't see David later on, except in concert. I got a couple of free tickets. So I took the bags up into the building, and I stopped in Alex's room, Alex Van Halen's room. And he was in there, and he was jumping around in the bed. He said, "Can you get me a Camaro? I want to rent a Camaro." And I said, "Well, we work through Dollar Rent-A-Car. I don't think they have Camaros, but let me check." So I called them up, and anyway, I put him on the phone with them, and I don't know if he ever got a Camaro. Then later on, after I delivered the bags, I went back down to the lobby. And it must have been about an hour later. They were getting ready to go to the sports arena for the concert. And Alex and Eddie were sitting next to each other outside on the steps of the front lobby. It was kind of like a brick wall, a short brick wall about waist height. And they were brushing each other's hair. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, well, they're brothers. So they loved each other as brothers. You know, it was pretty amazing. I went to the concert that night, and I did something I wasn't supposed to do. I came back to the hotel. They told us always, never fraternize with the guests. But I was walking down the hallway going inside the tower building, and there was Michael Anthony, the bassist, walking along. He had a bottle of Jack Daniels in his right hand. And I stepped up alongside of him. I said, "Could I have a drink from your bottle?" And he said, "Sure." He gave it to me. I took a swig and gave it back to him. Anyway, I went up to David's room. And I don't know if you're familiar with David Lee Roth. He always had a bodyguard. So the bodyguard was standing outside the room. It's probably the good, probably. I'm going to take a drink. Probably a good thing I didn't go inside. There's no doubt he had quite a few women in there, and they were way above my level, so to speak. You know, I was a shy young man at that time. And, you know, they're big money and probably doing drugs. And I would not have been comfortable in that environment. But I wanted to see my idol, my hero. But the bodyguard said, no, you can't go in. Okay, so I turned around and went back home. And that was my encounter with Van Halen. And later on, About 5 years later, they made that album, 1984, which had the song Jump on It. Now, I might be wrong. I mean, I already know that I'm an old soul. I've been around the universe. It's hard to tell, really. What about you, my friends? Are you an old soul, an intermediate soul, a young soul? I think most of the souls have come to planet Earth because it's such a hard school of learning that they're kind of trending towards a more advanced soul status. And so I might not be the toughest soul around, but maybe in the top 1%. I guess it doesn't matter really, because if we're all souls, and then maybe I've got more past lives than you, and I've had more access to universal knowledge. It's just like having a brother. You're in the 12th grade, he's in the 5th grade. It doesn't mean you're any better than him. It just means that you've been living longer and you've had more experience. I told you I was going to mess around with you, right? I've seen the toughest soul around. Was that what David Lee Roth? I've always thought about that. And I base it all on that look that he gave me. It is hard to describe. I just can't explain it. You would have had to be there, seen it, felt it, to know that we had that communication from one soul to another at that particular point in our lifetimes. And it was just, he almost looked kind of angry, but it was deep, very deep. And he can look into me too. He saw me. He looked into my soul, someone who had worshiped and adored him in the years before that, who was just blown out by that first album with Running with the Devil and Jamie's Crying and Eruption, all those beautiful songs. I thought that was the greatest album that ever came along, the heavy guitar playing of Edward Van Halen. So when I locked eyes with him, my eyes kind of told the story that, and he knew it, maybe his eyes changed in just an instant. I didn't see what they were like before then. They say that the eyes are the mirror of the soul, right? But he saw who I was. Me, just a bellman at that time, involved in a menial labor job. My life going nowhere. You know, I made good tips on a daily basis. Enough to survive. Plus, I got a paycheck every 2 weeks. Anyway, that's it. I just thought I'd put it out there. So I don't know if I'm the toughest soul around. You got it tough. I've seen toughest soul around. And people might not recognize that because we're all souls and they don't want someone to be better than they are, you know, and that's understandable, perfectly understandable. We are co-creator gods in the making. We are God apprentices. And in our minds, there's nobody greater than us. And that's okay. I understand that. I see it all the time. And I think to myself, you know, that's all right. That person is a God in the making. They might not be alive tomorrow. They've got a heart and a brain. They're not some robot. They're alive. They are gods in the making. And after this life, if they're fortunate enough to live to be a ripe old age, they're going to pass away and go to the afterlife as a pure spirit with a soul shining with a light, as I mentioned. Enjoy the fruits of their labor. Get to see what they did well and what they didn't do so well here in a life review. Go to that beautiful land with color and light everywhere, with no negativity, with all the redeemed souls and angels and all the wonderful people from different cultures that have grown up, that have lived on this planet at one time or another over the centuries. Be with them, and hear their laughter and joyful conversation, and know there's no worries there. There's no shadows, no darkness. We don't have to worry about bodily fluids. Don't have to worry about getting any sleep. We are spirits, pure spirits. We will be pure spirits. I'm going to take a drink. And if you think Earth is beautiful, get ready for heaven. It looks just like Earth, with mountains and valleys and trees, beautiful trees with fruit that we can eat, different types of fruits that aren't grown here on Earth. That look similar, but have different tastes. And yes, we can taste things there in spirit form. You better believe it. Wheat from the fields, breads and vegetables. I'm not sure about meat. Not even fish, I think. There's no need to. What we eat for pleasure. We don't need to eat to bring in nutrients for our physical bodies. Vitamins and minerals, etc. We don't need that in heaven. We eat and drink for the pleasure. We drink from the river of life, the beautiful, pure river of life. And once you've taken your first drink, the memories of that life that you just lived on earth and all the darkness that might be embodied in your spirit, all the bad memories, so to speak, they just disappear as you ingest that fresh, pure river of life. And it might be Abraham himself that gives you a golden goblet with the river of life. Abraham, they say, is a barrel-chested man. And he's a servant just like everybody in heaven. I know he's highly esteemed here as we look back upon his life. But in heaven, he's just another soul. And he'll tell you as much, too. You can take a drink. And if you go swim in the river of life, you see that water has different properties there in the spirit world. You can go down beneath the surface and you might think, oh my God, I'm going to drown. But guess what? You're already dead, so to speak. You're breathing in the water, looking around, and seeing prisms, color, like the colors of the rainbow. And you can float and be carried along in the current and just enjoy it. See pebbles down on the floor, on the ground of the, whatever you're in, a river or a lake or an ocean even. They've got oceans in heaven. And there are chariots driving around on roads made out of gold, yes. Transparent gold shines like glass. And then there's the city with the walls of pearl, angels everywhere, angels driving the chariots. And guess what? The order of business there in heaven is to praise the creator of the universe for the miracle of all creation, because we wouldn't have existed. And we wouldn't exist if it hadn't been for the creator of the universe. And that, my friends, is worthy of praise and worship, is it not? I'm going to take a drink. Give me just a few seconds here. I've got to move the speaker. The sun has now come down. It's in my eyes. So give me a few seconds here. Okay, that's better. Plus, even though we don't sleep in heaven, you have to know that there are many, many activities going on there. It's a busy place. There's all kinds of things going on, especially around the throne room. If you're fortunate enough to make it to the throne room, and it takes a lot of study and spiritual development to make it there and withstand that glory and brilliance of the Mother and Father God's light and all the angels and the redeemed in front of the throne. There's what they call the sea of glass with people are dancing and singing, and it's a noisy place. Angels shouting, holy, 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 hallelujah, and rejoicing, all the different kinds of angels, and it's really busy there because the Mother and Father God are involved with the, how would you say it, the running of a whole solar system, the business of taking care of an entire solar system, not only everything that's going on here on Earth, but elsewhere too. And these activities, they could include speeches, seminars, musical concerts. There's buildings everywhere, beautiful buildings made out of crystal, some made out of marble, white and gleaming in the light. There is no sun. It's on the sun. That is the world of light over there in the distance I was telling you about. We as spirits can live in light because we are made of light energy. Just like those unfortunate ones that make it down, that are sent down to God's jail, where there's lava beds and people being burnt in lakes of fire down there, and they can survive in that lake of fire. That's a good way to describe how you can also, those that have lived good lives and make it to that world of light 93 million miles away, can live in that fire. We are spirits that are made of light energy, billions of electrons. Believe me when I say that you will be able to walk in fire and nothing will harm you. It won't harm you. Yes, beautiful buildings, different types of architecture, Greek, Roman, others, people from all cultures, all worshiping the creator of the universe. There is no religion in heaven. And it's going to be so enjoyable. You're going to love it. All these negative feelings, dark feelings, the negativity of this planet will disappear and be replaced by joyful happiness and love, love for your fellow spirits. And talking about that, you're going to meet so many people that you knew while here on Earth. And you'll be able to spend time with them intimately. Even members of the opposite sex. You might go for a walk with Beyonce or the Queen of England. I had a dream about my mother early this morning. And my mother was a very beautiful woman when she was young. She was a model. I'm going to take a drink. She actually looked like the Queen of England. I'm serious. And I saw her in a dream. It was strange. Some dreams are strange. There was a young man I knew when I lived in Ottawa, Canada, before moving to Guadalajara in 1971. His name was Frank Rosano. But I saw my mother in this dream, and she was young, and she was beautiful. And I was worrying about her. I thought she had died, which she had. She did die in 1999, actually. Well, that's it, my friends. As I told Doug, I'm taking a cruise for the next two Saturdays, so I'll be back on the 27th of September. In the meantime, may the creative universe bless us and help us all to achieve peace and love. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you later. I love you. Bye-bye.